Welcome this week in Missouri Politics from the state capitol in Jefferson City. We are joined by Lieutenant Governor Mike Keel. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Great to be on again. Welcome to Jefferson City, Scott.
I love Jefferson City. It is a terrific community. I'm here as much as I can be. The downtown is great. I love your city. It is a terrific place to be.
Well, great. It's our city, and we think it's a great community as well. We've enjoyed raising our kids here and our business here, so we're awful proud of what others have done to before us, actually, to make this community so great.
Well, let's talk about the big announcement this week. You put out that you would not be running for U.S. Senate. You're one of the few that actually said you're not doing it. But you are going to run for governor of the state of Missouri. You're going to try to move down the hall here in 4 years. How did you come to that decision?
Well, I mean, the announcement really was we weren't running for Senate to kind of clear the field for others who were thinking about it. Mm-hmm. We thought that was the right thing to do to make sure that anybody else, so whether it's donors or supporters, understand who's in and who's out. But kind of when you're in our position, when you say you're not going to do something, usually the follow-up is, well, what are you going to do? So just kind of just put that aside.
It was almost the Mike Keel businessman that said, look, I'm not going to give you a bunch of junk. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to run for governor.
Well, I'm a goal setter. I think you know my background. I've struggled, early parts of our life to trying to get where we are. And a lot of people helped me get to where I am. And Claudia and I both believe you set a goal. And we taught our kids that. We tell other people that. And so that's the goal we set. It's a long way off. It's a ridiculous long way off, I would say. But you got to have something in your sights and let folks know.
I've been
what you're
lucky
thinking.
Enough to know a little bit of your story, and if you told folks how your story started, growing up in the situations that you did, no one would think that you'd be a major candidate for the governor of the state of Missouri.
Look,
tell folks that story a little bit.
Nobody thought I'd ever own my own Ford dealership
exactly.
either. So
yeah.
We've been really blessed, and Claudia and I think it's our time to give back to Missourians. It's been a good community and state to us. Missourians have welcomed us into their homes.
You know this state, though.
I love this state, and I'm a true Missourian. I've never lived anywhere else. And I think it's just our opportunity to continue to give back. Governor Parson, I think you know, and I have a great relationship. He's done a fantastic job. I'm happy to be able to here to help him, and I hope to be able to take over that kind of tone and pace that he's set to show Missourians we're about economic opportunity and growing our economy and providing opportunities for Missourians all across the state. That's what I want to continue.
You know, there's an integrity, though, that comes with that. That when you see Mike Parson, you see a man of integrity. You see somebody you respect. When he says something, you don't automatically wonder if it's true or not. You exhibit a lot of those qualities, that tone and tenor, but it's also that integrity.
Well, it's, you know, Governor Parson is that way. Sometimes you don't always like what he says,
sure.
but he's going to tell you where he's at. And that's a valuable lesson I learned in the business life, in life, in our Senate career. You are only, you know, what you have is yourself
sure.
and your word. So we're going to continue to try to do that, let people know who we are. Not everybody will like that, but at least they're going to know where we stand.
But something you've been consistent on, that's taxes. Not maybe being ridiculous or trying to score headlines, but keeping a rein on government. If you were a governor, you'd probably be the governor that's created the most jobs since, gosh, I don't know. I mean, maybe the governor that owned the apple orchards in Northeast Missouri. I mean, it's been a long time since a true businessman job creator was governor of Missouri.
Well, yeah, I think, for, number one, we've presided either as lieutenant governor or as voting as a senator over two of the largest tax cuts, really the only tax cuts we've seen in almost 100 years, because I think Missourians can do a much better job of deciding how to spend their money than the government ever will be able to do. And that goes back to the job creation piece. I saw people that we hired that would get their paychecks and what they would do with that, how they would, you know, use it to treat their family and use it to balance the family household budget, what they would invest in. And Missourians can make a much better decision. So creating jobs, giving people opportunities, mm-hmm. and letting them keep just a little bit more of what they earn seems to do well for our economy.
I ain't never met a guy that looked at his pay stub in the weekend and said, you know what, I didn't give the government enough money.
No.
I got to send more.
Well, if you do, there's something wrong with that man or woman.
But
so.
I'll tell you, you know, you go back to COVID, and you say, well, you look at decisions doctors made and suggestions they made. Well, you know, most folks would be guessing about the things that went into those decisions. Every Republican I know talks about job creation. You actually know what it's like to decide, can we afford this extra person? What can we pay them? How much we have to pay them to get a good person for this job? You know, you don't have to guess about what goes into the decisions to create a job. That's a very unique perspective in politics these days.
Well, that's what I think. You know, Missouri is a huge business.
Yep.
And I've obviously never run a business as large as the state of Missouri. But the common principles, to your point, are right, is that the common sense hiring and expansion and what you need to make your business unit work, that's something we have a lot of experience in. And I think that brings a unique quality for us to potentially the governor's office in the future, and certainly lieutenant governor's office now and then senator. was somebody who signed both sides of the paycheck, somebody who's had to, unfortunately, when times got bad, had to lay people off back for us in 2008 and 9, a time I'll never forget. But also experienced some good economic expansion opportunities where we're able to grow our business and hire more people, provide for more Missouri families. So I've been on both sides of that coin. Mm-hmm. I can use that experience as we move forward.
So let's talk about something I was a little surprised by. There was education reform was moving through the House. That had some personalities. Some the bill was a little bit getting a little stuck. You went over and kind of sorted things out. I think there'll be some folks surprised to know that the person who's probably the most responsible for moving that education reform was you. How'd you come to decide that? Because I'll tell you,
well,
now I ain't never seen a Palmyra Panther want a charter school. I've never seen a Jefferson City J care about school reform. Never seen a Dexter Bearcat. How do you come down on the side of changing the schools, which a lot of schools don't support?
Well, yeah, no, for one, let me tell you about the House. A lot of capable people involved in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Leadership in the House certainly is capable of moving things. But every once in a while, as you know, I've been a referee in a lot of situations
yep.
here over the years. And I enjoy trying to make sure good people that I respect on both sides that just seem to have somehow gotten disconnect, try to kind of get them together and say, let's concentrate on where we're going.
But how did you pick this issue to come in and help save?
Yeah, school choice is not something that's normally in my wheelhouse, but definitely education reform is something we've got to keep our eye on because so many times we get lost in what the adults want and we forget about what the kids need. And so we're a large state. You hear us say this all, whether it's about COVID or taxes or anything else. You know, we're not a one-size-fits-all. You can't just take a broad brush across Missouri and say, what's good for Butler County is the same that's good for St. Louis County, the same is good for Platte County. But the tools that we need to be able to provide those adults, those citizens, those moms and dads, as well as the school boards and the communities at some point in time, I think are what we got to continue to focus on so we can get the best opportunities for our kids to prepare for the workforce that we have. And sometimes some of those tools need to be a little bit of reform for people to be able to consider.
Well, I've asked that question to a lot of folks. I guess you've created more jobs than I have. Maybe we want to talk about something else.
Well, you know what, Scott? We're in a great country and a great state, and you'll have opportunities to create more jobs and grow your business. I'm confident in that.
Hopefully you keep cutting taxes. That'll be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about the Second Amendment, something that I know matters to everybody. Everybody's going to vote in that Republican primary. They care about that. When they see Joe Biden come out and after a mass shooting, a terrible tragedy, the first thing they say is we want to take some guns away. That strikes pretty deep in the heart of Missourians.
You know, it's a cliche you hear a lot about, and I don't want to take loss of life too, you know,
sure.
casual. But you know that the person behind that weapon is the person we named to try to get help for. Just this week, I was at Midway USA up in outside of Columbia, one of the largest internet sales, outdoor equipment, everything, but a lot of guns and ammo. And there's a family-owned business right here in Missouri, and we have many of them like that, by the way, who would tell you that the fear that is in Missourians and people all across the United States about what Joe Biden might do to limit their Second Amendment right is
yeah.
real. And it's a shame, it shouldn't be that way. We need to make sure we understand that is the most fundamental right we have. Are there things you can talk about as far as helping the person out and different things like that? Sure, I think everybody wants to talk about some of the mental illnesses we have.
Mm-hmm.
But if they didn't have guns and weapons and bullets, there's other ways, we saw in 9/11, there's other ways for people to inflict harm on their fellow citizens. And so trying to make sure we put the peace in place that's really the core issue and not just blame the weapon at this point in time is important because I think our Second Amendment right is now more critical than ever.
Before you go and ask you about an issue I know that's been, you've been a leader on, not just in the State House, but in your community, and that's pro-life. You've been one of the more outspoken people on pro-life that I know. Where's that come from?
Well, my mother, you know, my mom had choices to make when my dad left, and so she chose life. It's very important to her, and that's a foundational value of mine. Claudia's the oldest of seven. I'm the youngest of six. We had four children between us, and we just believe that's the most fundamental innocent person that you can protect is that person in the womb that can't speak for themselves. And way before politics, I've been involved with multiple organizations, both in the community and statewide. Vitae is one that we've been involved with ever since it started. Carl Amler started almost 30 years ago. And so we really believe in the passionate plea that that person that can't speak for themselves has. And I think as elected officials, we're the person that needs to speak for that person.
I don't want to let you go without asking you about President Trump. You make the state around as much as anybody I know. You talk to folks. I understand in the newsroom at the Post-Dispatch and the Star. I get it. But Once you get out in rural Missouri, they love President Trump.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with those newspapers that you mentioned, by the way. President Trump did an unbelievable job in the policy and the things that are important to Missourians and Americans. There's nobody that can deny that the economic success, the job creation, the rollback of regulations, the judges we got appointed, the pro-life stand the president had was almost second to none. Unfortunately, even as hard as many of us campaign and many Missourians campaign, the election results didn't turn out as we wanted. There's some argument about whether they were right or fair or not. We're dealing with another administration now, and in just 60 days, I think Missourians and the United States can see elections have consequences, and this is certainly a different direction this administration is taking us than I felt President Trump had us on. So for the governor and I, other statewide elected officials, their local elected officials, senators, House members, to continue to put those values that President Trump had that we believe Missourians are about, we're going to have to continue to carry that forward as a state.
Last question. In Missouri, every Republican that ever runs talks about stopping abortion in their state, in their district, in their city, their town, their county. The administration that you're a part of took a law that you helped pass when you're in the Senate, and your administration has effectively ended abortion in the state of Missouri.
You get
enough credit for that.
Well, a lot of people help with that. Yeah. I can tell you David Sater. I can tell you Bob Onder.
Sure.
I can tell you a lot of people in the Senate that have part of that. Elijah Haar in the House, Mary Elizabeth Coleman, Nick Schroer. President Trump, as well as obviously Governor Parson, all is a team effort to try to say this is the life we need to speak for and protect. And if you look back just 10 or 12 years ago, we had thousands of abortions a year. Just in 2020, less than 60. In 2021 so far, I don't believe we've had one recorded so far.
When you were in the room crafting that legislation, did you believe you would get to where you are today?
We knew, especially with the heartbeat bill that the House passed and the Senate passed, and at the time I was the pro tem, we knew that was going to be a game changer. And that has been a game changer. And I think it's been just one of the most fundamental things we can do, again, to put that piece of policy forward.
Well, Governor Keel, as you talk about moving down the hall here, we hope you'll come back and join us on This Week in Missouri.
Well, we got a lot of time, so you have a lot of shows between now and 2024, so you might get sick of me. But thanks for having me on. I always appreciate it.
We'll keep it fun. Stick around for our Opinion Maker panel. Senator Esslinger will be on. But first, go to showmissouri.com. This week, we're in Madison County. Got to eat at the pig. Got to go to the most beautiful courthouses in the entire state in Madison County. Showmissouri.com. This week, Missouri, one county at a time. We'll be right back after this.
All across Missouri, our new car and truck dealers are building strong local economies. When you buy a car or truck in Missouri, you're helping to support over 20,000 Missouri families who rely on the auto industry for good-paying local jobs. You're also helping fund our communities, schools, first responders, and our roads, because dealers generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Missouri's automobile dealers have been the foundation of our communities for generations and for generations to come. The Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, the heart of Missouri.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople, while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right to work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work.
Welcome back to This Week in Missouri Politics from the state capitol in Jefferson City. We are joined by Hannah Beers with Axiom Strategies, Axiom Clout, all of the umbrella
of
influence in public relations. Hannah Beers, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Senator Carl Esslinger from Southern Missouri, thank you so much for making the time. Now, exactly where are you from? In Southern Missouri?
I am from Ozark County.
Ozark County. Right on the Arkansas line, right?
Actually, right on the Arkansas line is where Ozark County is, but I live right between the huge town of Gainesville, Missouri, and Ava.
Gainesville, Missouri, hometown of Joe Scott and Bob Bluff. Caitlin Schauhorn there, the Missouri Times, thank you so much for making the trip from the press gallery all the way down here to the second floor.
It was a long trip, long trip.
And Brian Treese, the mayor of Columbia. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much and welcome back to the show.
Scott, it's good to be back.
How's Columbia doing with COVID and everything?
Right, we are doing strong. We just lifted our final public health order. Our economy's rebounding. We're on the right track.
Is your economy doing well? Your sales tax, is it getting back or is it?
You know, thanks to great companies like Shelter Insurance, yeah, Veterans United, they distributed their workforce early. That keeps our economy strong, and people followed our public health orders, and that's good.
Well, good. Congratulations on how well it's going, by the way. Let's talk about Roy Blunt. What a legacy of service. And I know you're a Democrat, he was a Republican, but I know you care about the infrastructure. You care about moving the state forward. Roy Blunt had a heart for this state.
You know, for me, Senator Blunt represents what's possible when elected officials work together. And for the city of Columbia, that's over $500 million in new construction over the next 2 years, a new airport terminal, a new Precision Health Institute, a new bridge over the Missouri River. These are generational investments because of federal, state, and local funding. I'm proud of that cooperation, and I think whoever replaces him should follow that example of service and constituent service.
And how many two-by-fours are stood up on the University of Missouri campus?
That's right.
And research dollars. His legacy is amazing.
We have a lot of cranes in the sky right now.
There you go. All right, Hannah, let's talk politics now. So to replace him, you have the former Governor Greitens. He wanted to run from the start. Attorney General Eric Schmidt, it's interesting. You got the guy that gets arrested versus the top law enforcement official. And now you hear maybe Congressman Smith, Congresswoman Wagner, Congresswoman Hartzler, John Bruner. Who runs, who doesn't run?
Well, I want to say thank you to Senator Blunt for his service. I mean, yeah, it has been such an honor to call him senator for the past 11, next year, 12 years. But we obviously have to think about who's next and who is going to represent Missouri. Mm-hmm. In my humble opinion, I think that Eric Schmidt is the right guy to do that. I mean, he, out of all of the rumored candidates, he's the only one who has won statewide twice, overwhelmingly. Missourians love him. We like to say he's the only one who's as comfortable in the cornfields of Carrollton as he is in the boardrooms of Baldwin, or Baldwin. And I think Missourians are ready for Eric Schmidt to be senator. And, I mean, we have to face it, Eric Greitens is like Chuck Schumer's number one pick to be the, sure, Republican nomination here. I think that's the only way a Democrat gets back to the United States Senate. So we have to rally around a Republican who will represent us well, who will follow Senator Blunt's legacy. And unfortunately, I think the more people who get in, the easier it is for Eric Greitens to pull up that nomination.
You know how to win these races. What do you need to get that down to? If it's three people, maybe 35% wins. Yeah. Four people, 30%, yeah, Certainly wins.
Hey, I would love for it to be Eric versus Eric and the tall one wins. So
there you go. Caitlin Schauhorn, they all call you and tell you, everybody's told us they're going to run and all and want this attention. Who actually runs on filing day? Who's in?
I think it would be interesting to see Congressman Smith in. And I know that he's got the ear of President Trump, and I think that would be a big boost to his campaign. And I would like to see him jump in and see what that would do to a Greitens campaign. Greitens so far has really run on I'm Trump's best friend. Here are all these people who used to work for Trump who have endorsed me, and I think that would be interesting.
Oh, it's kind of funny when Governor Greitens was across the hall here, Eric Schmidt was pretty quiet about him, so was Roy Blunt, and the first two people he stabs is them two. It's very Eric Greitens of him. Carl Esslinger, we're from a part of the state where there is a lot of still support for Governor Greitens. Sure. There is folks that if you're angry and you don't want to blame yourself for your problems, Eric Greitens will tell you who to blame. And there's a lot of folks that buy into that and believe it. And it's almost like it doesn't matter. They view him as somebody that is angry and they're angry. There's a sizable amount of support. How would Eric Schmidt play in Howe County? Could Jason Smith, who people in Howe County know very well,
that's right,
how does he do?
Yeah, well, I think overall we're just very fortunate that we have such a deep bench as far as Republican candidates for that position. How does Eric Schmidt play against Eric Greitens? The two Erics, I think one would be kind of confusing to have both of them. But then again, I think the track record of what Eric Schmidt brings to the table is pretty good. I really like that. How it plays out, I'm still kind of waiting to see. I'm kind of waiting to see, keep my ear to the ground and keep you posted. There is a lot of support for Eric Greitens down in my part of the country. I still think, too, that there's just an opportunity there to really dig up some things that are very uncomfortable and things that we don't want to have be part of our reputation in our party. So
not just a party, our state.
Our state.
But so, prediction time, does Jason Smith get in?
Look, I think at some point this becomes more the merrier. I think Congressman Smith looks at it, Congressman Wagner, Congressman Hartzler, Billy Long. You know, that 30-35% victory margin, maybe 17% depending on how many people get in.
Caitlin Shelherm, will there be more than just the two Erics, and who will that third person or fourth person be?
I mean, as a reporter, I hope so, because the more the merrier, and it's fun for me, so.
Yeah. Prediction, will there be more than just the two Erics?
I think there'll be more than the two Erics.
Who will it be? Who's the extra one?
I'm looking for Jason Smith, for sure, especially in our area. Constituent service is above and beyond, and folks down there really appreciate
that. We'll all talk about her running for Congress. Anna Beers, so you have one Eric, you have two Erics.
Yeah.
Is there a third candidate?
You know, who knows at this point? I think we're so lucky with our Republican congressional delegation. I love seeing them where they are and all they do for Missouri.
I'll give you the bad guy, the guy that's at the bar at Lincoln Day Answer.
Oh,
I don't know Bruner, how he calculates it, or Vicky Hart, so I think Billy Long doesn't run. I think Jason Smith runs, and then Wagner, 50-50. Either way, it's going to be very interesting, something to talk about here in this group of Missouri politics. Mr. Mayor, let's talk about COVID, vaccine rollout. There was some contention before, but it looks as though we're getting to the point where if you want a vaccine, you can get one.
Well, let's all take a moment to think back to where we were 12 months ago when we had shortages in toilet paper and hand sanitizer and then PPE, that personal protective equipment for first responders, then masks. It's not surprising that we're going to have a few vaccine shortages now.
We were on the top of a restaurant trying to stay far enough apart that we could interview you. That was 6 months ago.
You know, look, in a couple weeks, I think the vaccine inventory is going to outpace demand.
Yeah.
What's most important, however, is that everybody take the first available vaccine when you become eligible. Not only is it good for public health, it keeps our economy back on track, and that's good for Missouri.
All right, Mr. Mayor, tell my mom down in Best Brother County, my dad's taking the shot when he gets his. My mom's still iffy. Convince her, help
Look,
me out.
Look, the best medical doctors and research minds in this country have developed this vaccine. It is effective at keeping you out of the hospital, effective at preventing death, and gets us all back to normal sooner.
Let's talk about the public health response here. Actually, Senator, I'll start with you. There was a bill to change how counties could do shutdowns. It ended up failing last night.
Yes.
It felt to me like the will of that body is to do something to change how it's done. It felt like there might have been a lack of compromise.
We stayed at it for, 7 hours or however long it was? It was a long period of time.
Yeah.
It was almost 2 o'clock before I ended up driving out of the parking lot. But the will of the body, I think, is to make sure that we protect individual rights, that we take care of the folks. But then again, also local control. Our governor was a great example of local control. What is it that we need to do? To make sure that the people who are making decisions understand the problem, understand the solution, and how it's going to work. I really think that we're going to have some more opportunities to talk about that topic, and we're going to be able to see some things come from the House. We've got a couple more, I think one more bill for sure in the Senate that could be brought up that could address the same issue that we were discussing last night, maybe not quite as complicated with a lot of other things on it. Hopefully we'll get some traction with that.
And Jim Murphy has a House bill, right, I think that's coming that a lot of folks are looking at as a vehicle. Does something get done?
Well, Senate leadership just said today that they hope something does get done, but one that maybe doesn't focus just so much on the St. Louis area.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a Crawford County gal, right?
I am a Crawford County gal.
Now, I didn't know the health board could do anything, actually.
Yeah.
I had
yeah.
no idea that there, I knew there was a health board, but had no idea they could do anything. It seems to me like a decision like lockdowns or masks or whatever you want to do is a county commissioner, mayor level.
Yeah.
I mean, the health board's tasked with just doing health.
Yeah.
The commissioners have to balance things. Mayors have to balance things. What do you think? I mean, is that where it ends up?
I mean, I would hope that we get something done. I know Representative Murphy's bill deals with that as well. It's not really the place of those health boards to do that, right? That's something that should be left to elected officials. So
I'm all for it. I mean, you have to balance a lot of decisions, but you're used to it.
Now is not the time to second guess the governor's decision to work with local health professionals. And from day one, he coordinated with mayors like myself and across the state with our public health directors to preserve our economy, preserve public health, and those decisions saved lives, and we shouldn't be second guessing them now.
So you think the system as it stands now, I mean, you're the one that actually is in the fight, is what needs to happen.
You know, ironically, we have adopted as the city many of the protections that are now being considered in this bill to review our public health director's decisions every 2 weeks on a rolling basis. But, you know, to me, I committed early on
to
follow.
You had the support of your council, though.
I mean, for the most part. Yeah, I can count
unanimous,
to four.
But yeah.
Yeah. Look, we committed to follow the data and the science, and when you do that, you can never go wrong. It's when you start following public opinion and political pressure to make these decisions that you undermine public confidence in those decisions.
Well, my desire to stay out of trouble means I want to ask you about your Foxtrot bill.
Oh, there you go.
Tell me about it. That's a great topic.
We have a horse in Douglas County, originated in Douglas County. It's called a Foxtrotter. It's our state horse. And just wanted to bring more awareness to it, so I have a simple bill, as they say.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
A simple bill, and passed out of the House. We're going to recognize the Foxtrotter, that beautiful animal, for the first week of September. And it's over in the House right now, and Representative Travis Smith, who took my place, is going to shepherd that through. And we're going to have a great big party down in Douglas County the first week of September, and you're all invited.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Caitlin, I think maybe the biggest thing that maybe passed this week, an eventful week, was Tony Lichtenmeyer, Senator Lichtenmeyer, had a bill about Kansas City police residency, but really included in it was a ton of police reform. Senator Brian Williams worked very hard for a long time. What was in that bill that may be more notable than the title of the bill?
I think Senator Williams' bill that got attached to that, banning chokeholds specifically, I think that was a testament of how hard he's worked. It's clearly a labor of love for him. And I think that was evident by the amount of time he spent talking to police groups. And even when it came through committee, there were no police groups that testified against it. They testified for it. So it's clearly something that is needed and wanted just across the board.
I do think, you've got a lot of folks, maybe not in our neck of the woods, but in St. Louis, Kansas City, they take to the streets and protest. To me, this is a common sense thing that, you don't have to say you agree with all of what they say. You can at least say you hear them. That they're upset.
Exactly right. Great example, that bill, the process it went through and the work that was done. I called home, back home to my sheriff's association, to my city folks, and talked about it, and was able to, Senator Williams provided great information for us, and it all came together. It's a perfect example of collaboration and how you can work together to get some good work done.
Well, you're in West Plains, you ain't got to look hard to find out what the sheriff's think, because you got Sean Rhodes right there,
buddy. Sean Rhodes and the sheriff's association, and I've got a great bunch of sheriffs. I've got 8 counties and some absolutely fantastic sheriffs.
They know how to write tickets. I know that, don't they? And with a minute left, who won the week?
Eric Schmidt. Absolutely.
I thought it was a good thing to come out like he did. It seemed to be very smart. Shows he's in. Shows he's committed to it. Who won the week?
You know that tall guy from the Boot Hill down there, that brand new senator.
That
his name
Bill
is Jason
guy.
Bean.
Yep.
Here he comes in. He's had lots of time on a tractor, but first time to pass a bill, and he got that done this week. And
he waited until he was 50 to pass.
So, wasn't an easy path either.
No. Nope.
Stayed the course and went right with it.
Point of orders and all kinds
absolutely,
of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who won the week?
I've got to say Becky Woolard, who's named the new executive director of the Hawthorne Foundation.
Hawthorne Foundation may have won the week as well. One week.
Clear winners, public health, when 9 Republican senators defended the governor's strategy to work with local officials on public health.
I'm going to say, I think Brian Williams won the week. Senator Williams has worked very hard, brought tons of people together that normally aren't together, and I think really showed that, maybe everybody doesn't agree on everything folks say, when you have that many people who feel strongly, at least they're listening, and he was able to not just talk or tweet or Facebook, deliver something, and I think he won the week. Hope you'll win the week next week by joining us on This Week in Missouri Politics back in our San Luis studios. See you then.
This Week in Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.
Guys, thank you so much for watching the show. I want to tell you about a new thing we're offering. It's the Missouri Times Podcast Network. You'll get this show every week. If you want to listen to it in your car, you don't have time to watch it. You'll get our show in Missouri podcast, History of Missouri, one county at a time. You'll also get our midweek update. Once a week, I throw up the Facebook Live. We talk politics, usually till lunch, and discuss politics. You'll get to hear all those things come right to your phone. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Android, Missouri Times Podcast Network. Please join us and subscribe.